Please listen carefully.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Athens Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
We're part of the team behind The Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded positive news stories every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
Every weekday, and nowadays Saturday too, we publish 10 stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we'll be sharing these stories in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, and home office-worthy podcast.
So by subscribing, listening to, and reading and sharing The Optimist Daily, you are on the front lines of action-oriented steps towards solving our world's biggest problems. First you, and then 100,000, and then 100 million people focused on solutions will change the world for good.
Today is Thursday, March 26, 2020.
And here are today's top solutions, starting with one from The Optimist Daily Business section. Open source education is gaining over costly textbook companies. Paired with the rising cost of college tuition, the astronomical growth of textbook prices makes many students' dreams of attending a university fall well short of reality. Data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics shows that from 1977 to 2015, the cost of textbooks rose over three times the rate of inflation, totaling a 1,041% increase. Very high. Equal access to education will never happen when students are consistently being priced out of the education system, something that the nonprofit organization OpenStax recognizes. That's why the nonprofit based at Rice University is leading the charge in the open education resource movement by providing free textbooks to students. For years, the sale and distribution of college textbooks has been the same. Textbook companies sell the books to faculty members assign the books to students, and students are required to buy them in order to access the learning material. Textbook companies have had free rein over pricing and formatting, leaving consumers with little choice but to pay up. There have been legislative attempts to address the issue, but they've fallen short. The 2008 Higher Education Act required publishers to end the practice of bundling together unnecessary texts for increased profit. However, this attempt to eliminate unnecessary spending has been stymied by companies that found loopholes in order to continue increasing their profit. OpenStax is committed to helping students take back control of their future, their finances, and by providing access to free college textbooks, that's what they're doing. They're dedicated to putting an end to the current model by focusing on the students' needs, giving them access to free online textbooks or print copies at a fraction of the cost. Working with philanthropic foundations and other educational resource companies, OpenStax publishes high-quality, peer-reviewed, openly licensed college textbooks that are absolutely free online and low cost in print. And what's nifty about the digital textbooks is that they can be updated or corrected whenever is necessary, and it also takes away the motive to make unnecessary updates. OpenStax has a bold mission, but since the numbers show that they're actually making a difference for students, since 2012, OpenStax has saved 9 million students over $830 million. On top of that, the average price of textbooks is beginning to decrease for the first time in 50 years, something that economists attribute to the price pressure that open educational resources like OpenStax have put on the market. So that is a win for the market and how competition really does help to keep prices down for consumers.
Exactly. And the competition is so critical. I've got two kids who are in high school, and every quarter we have to plan for another $1,000 in their textbooks. And it is crazy. And honestly, our kids have started to find ways around that by finding PDFs. And kids are circumventing this system already. And I know that a lot of university students are as well. So the market will respond if the manufacturers don't acknowledge that this is a problem. So OpenStax is awesome. Our next story is one that I love. NASA's Perseverance rover will still launch on time this summer. The new Mars rover, scheduled to launch in July, is most appropriately named Perseverance. Despite budget complications and the global COVID-19 pandemic, NASA is confident that the six-wheeled rover will still take off this summer. According to the division director, Lori Grays, the rover is on NASA's shortlist of the most critical projects, and the team is committed to sticking to their July 17th launch date. The team is installing the final instruments on the rover, and if all goes well, it will touch down on the Red Planet in February 2021 to search for signs of life along an ancient dried-up river delta. This news is a reminder of exciting things to come as we focus on fighting the global coronavirus pandemic. If you want to learn more about Mars while you're holed up at home, consider taking NASA's virtual tour of the Red Planet we discussed last week.
Yes, go look at NASA's virtual tour of the Red Planet and see more about the stars as well. All right, well, in our next story, the headline is Smart Urban Design is the Best Defense We've Got, and this is from the Optimist Daily Design section. Throughout history, disease outbreaks have forced new innovations in urban design. Fighting cholera epidemics in the 1800s, for example, necessitated the building of new plumbing and sewer systems and devising new zoning laws to prevent overcrowding. As the new coronavirus lays bare the need for broader changes across our economy, such as widespread paid sick leave, it may fundamentally change the way cities and buildings are built. According to David Greens, a principal at the health-focused design firm Perkins & Will, one part of that might mean creating buildings that can quickly switch to different uses in the case of an epidemic or another type of disaster. That could mean redesigning public spaces so that they can also work as logistics and treatment areas in cities. A better design could also help reduce crowds where viruses can easily spread. At airports, for example, security screening could be done differently so that passengers aren't forced to wait crowded closely together in lines. New and upgraded airports are being designed to increase security screening lanes and reduce pinch points in passenger flow, says Arathi Goda, Associate Director of High Performance Design at Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill. This, along with automated screening lanes, reduces passenger wait time, congestion, and person-to-person contact. Hospitals, of course, can also be better designed to handle outbreaks of infectious diseases. The hospital at Rush University in Chicago has an ambulance bay that's designed to be closed off so that patients can be safely evaluated there before entering the general hospital. Inside, negative pressure zones that limit the spread of the virus can be turned on in multiple areas. Hospital rooms can also transform. For instance, if a patient becomes very ill, it can be turned from an acute care room into a critical care ICU room quickly. More holistic approaches to making cities and buildings healthy can also impact future epidemics by making it less likely that people become sick. As one example, Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill is beginning to add more outdoor spaces to its designs, even in super tall buildings. One reason that access to outdoor space is important: a large percentage of Americans are vitamin D deficient, and some studies have linked higher vitamin D levels to reduced risk of acute respiratory tract infection, which is what my personal doctor has been advising me, is to take vitamin D. So if you would like to take a deeper dive into post-corona urban design, have a look at this article on our website.
That's great. And I am very much looking forward to all of the expansive, creative, and productive opportunities that come out of this. People are already starting to think about how we build for a better future.
And I love the point that, I mean, it was the cholera epidemics that created our modern sewage systems.
Yep.
Before that, we didn't have internal plumbing. We didn't have wastewater treatment. And we didn't even understand how that was a huge vector for disease. And now we do. And that has changed that one communicable disease largely. So we just have to think about this in other design as well.
Something else that is certainly changing these days is education. Our next story is yet another opportunity for kids to discover and learn something free. Babbel makes its language learning app free for all U.S. students. As students find themselves cooped up in their homes due to the outbreak, an increasing number of educational services are taking down their paywalls to encourage learners to, well, learn more. Earlier this week, for example, Yale made its beloved online happiness course free for everyone. Now, Babbel, the Berlin-based paid language learning app, has recently announced that in light of the COVID-19 pandemic, it is making its service available for free to all U.S. students affected by school closures. Until the end of the term, K through 12 and college students can learn a wide range of languages, including Spanish, French, German, Italian, Portuguese, Polish, Russian, Dutch, and Turkish. Students who want to sign up only need a valid school email address to get started.
This is great, Summers. I've also seen other online learning applications getting a lot of attention. I was listening about to a story this morning about Skype Scientists, which is another one where it's a company called that puts together Skype calls with scientists in different fields for school students. And I think that's a very interesting one. And then along these lines, one of our readers told us about their granddaughter is now doing FaceTime with her so that she can practice her Spanish and also Portuguese, because the grandmother speaks both of those languages well, and the little girl.
It. Wonderful.
Yeah. All right. Well, in our final story for today, which is from our energy category, global wind energy capacity has hit an all-time high as it grew by 1/5 last year. The past year was a good one for renewables, as the world's wind power capacity grew by almost 1/5 in 2019, boosted by a boom of wind farms in China and the United States. The Global Wind Energy Council, GWEC, found that wind power capacity grew by 60.4 gigawatts, or 19%, compared with 2018. GWEC has expected 2020 to emerge as the record year as well, and forecasts growth of another 20%, but said that due to the impact of the global coronavirus, progress may be a bit slower. The virus outbreak could slow the construction of energy projects in line with an economy-wide slowdown in manufacturing and infrastructure development. But the council believes that COVID-19 could still present an opportunity for the wind industry. As governments devise stimulus packages, it is ever more important for them to take this chance and use the growing industry to help galvanize economic recovery through green investments and help us speed the getting off of the fossil fuel carbon-emitting problems that have gotten us where we are now.
You know, it's interesting all the things that will change after this. One of the things for anyone listening today who might be a smidge frustrated by our connection, I think that hardwired internet and Wi-Fi will continue to grow, because we currently, we're recording this remotely from our homes, and I have two students who are currently upstairs on Zoom calls, and Christy and I are here on Skype, and so please pardon if it cuts in and out. Thank you for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. Be a part of the solution, changing consciousness, and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.
All right, guys, have a wonderful day.
Bye, everybody.